Welcome back to Digesting Fargo, where we're tackling the FX series Fargo, one episode at a time. For this podcast, we watched season 4, episode 5, The Birthplace of Civilization, and we are here to break it all down for you in our weekly Fargo wrap-up. I'm Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the multiplication to my division, Aaron Brooks.
How's it going?
Good. That was the only real duel that I could find in this episode that worked.
Yeah, that. But yeah, great episode regardless.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing who was Kalamita to my Gitano, but I feel like we'll have a better episode for Kalamita. Although I don't know, maybe not. Maybe this might have been the biggest Kalamita episode that we've had yet.
Yeah, definitely.
Big spoiler alert across the top. If you've not watched this episode, probably as you said before we recorded, the most spoiler thing that's happened so far in this episode. Unfortunately, I got spoiled on the big spoiler twist at the end of the episode. It didn't actually take anything away from it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But if you've not caught up, pause this podcast, go watch the episode. Each week we're going through Fargo, so make sure you do not miss an episode by subscribing on your podcatcher of choice. And be sure to send us your feedback, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. That is the email address from our last podcast when we were doing Digesting Dark. Or you can also tweet it at us at BrooksZA and at Aaron J-A-Y Brooks. That is the best way to get that in to us if you do have any feedback. So, yeah, we'll hope to get some feedback. I think Fargo's a hard one to send feedback in for because there's not necessarily, not a ton of open questions, I feel like, at the end of each episode. What do you think?
Yeah, and with it being a show that's both on FX and on Hulu, there's a lot of people that aren't watching it Sunday night, including us. So. Yeah.
I'm too old to get into a show that requires this much thinking at 10 p.m. Especially because the episodes are all an hour and a half. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of different reasons, but either way, I don't think this is a show as much about solving it, which again, I mean, this episode, just to jump into it a little bit with that, and we'll go through a little summary, but I mean, Rabbi Milligan again reminding in the jail, reminding the Cannon gang that he's going to take care of Loy's son no matter what, and that they're all cannon fodder, as we've already said.
Right.
So they're all dead. But Loy's son, who's going to end up being Mike Milligan, is not dead. So, Satchel will become Mike
Milligan. He's going to be the legacy.
And I don't think they're even trying to hide it because they're showing it so much and making it so clear at this point. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're familiar with the second season particularly, you put this together, it's more confirmed when they show Loy dealing with the guns and who he gives the guns to for loyalty. I'm blanking on the name.
Mort Kellerman.
Yeah, Mort Kellerman, who's also from season 2, so that's confirmed here. It's the same actor playing.
It was the same actor. I was wondering if that was.
So that's confirmed that this is the same universe as season 2, which takes place in the 70s. So it's each episode there's a little more like confirming to me Satchel is Mike Milligan.
Yeah, one of these days we got to go back and watch season 2 just so we can really, really know what we're talking about with these characters that are popping up. I don't remember season 1 and season 3 being that tied together, but 2 and 4 seem like we're getting a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that you remember about Mike Milligan in math? Because he is learning his multiplication and division in this episode. Is that any kind of story?
Well, I mean, he ends up working a job with numbers at the end of season 2 when he just gets that office job, which is worse than a death sentence for him.
Oh,
he ends up getting an office job, I believe, as an accountant.
Mm.
Not positive, though. But something with numbers, I'm sure.
Well, had he not learned this multiplication and division, he might not have been able to have that job.
Yeah, which is worse. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Is he cursed because of his interactions with Rabbi Milligan?
Mm-hmm.
So, the big spoiler thing that we talked about is that we did lose Dr. Senator in this episode, sadly, and he was on your safety draft. So you have mm-hmm. lost a point or gained a point, whatever. You are a point down mm-hmm. in the safety draft, which we'll go through at the end of the episode. Before I even got a chance to watch this episode today, I got a text from Alex Chester, who I know has been really following Fargo closely and might come on as a guest one of these weeks for this podcast. And it just said, Dr. Senator with a tear face. And I just said, no, I wish I had not seen that. But it actually worked out for me because just jumping to that last scene, you know, I knew that Dr. Center was going to die throughout this whole episode. And in the last scene, it was actually very stressful because I knew he was going to get killed, but I had no idea how he was going to die. And I wondered, they focused in on a couple things that made me wonder, like, is the sugar that he's putting in his coffee going to be poison? Is there, you know, is Gaetano going to do something? And the longer that scene went on, knowing that Dr. Senator was not going to make it out alive, it did build the tension to then when he is finally killed at the end of the episode, when he's finally shot outside of the diner. You know, it was a nice payoff by that shooting by Calamita. So did you see that? Did you see him dying? Were you expecting him to die during that scene?
I mean, I was definitely really nervous, especially as Gaetano was eating the sundae the whole time in the corner. Mm-hmm. And then the rewatch, I noticed he didn't notice him right when he came in. And he said, am I talking to you or am I talking to him?
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if he even noticed it the first time. And the second time on the rewatch, I noticed it was kind of similar to the finale of The Sopranos in that it zoomed in on the bell on the door as Dr. Senator came in. So these are things that are like really obvious on a rewatch that you don't really notice, but it's like, there's a reason why they're showing the bell for the door.
I picked that up too, knowing that he was going to die. And we were getting towards the end of the episode when he walks in, I'm like, oh, it's for who the bell tolls, for whom the bell tolls. So,
yeah. And that's like a huge part of the finale for The Sopranos as well. That pretty much makes that fate very clear to me. So this is a similar type of thing. Yes. For the coffee, the waitress kind of looks like an angel of death when he walks in. Like, she doesn't look like,
she looks really freaked out. So I thought maybe in, cause I knew he was going to die. I was like, oh, maybe she's in on this whole thing. I was very unclear. So it, you know, knowing that that is not the worst spoiler in the world to have known going in.
No, I mean, like when I picked him, I think I kind of knew it was a mistake, but I didn't think it was going to be the first one off
the board. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a great character too. I mean, it's a good character for them to kill off for emotional impact, I think. And it's a huge shot in this war between the Fadas and the Cannons, for sure. I mean, this is a really big shot that's been successful.
Yeah, and Fargo continues to, like, in a very, very subtle way, just show how race is affected in this world. I mean, Dr. Senator and his driver, who was it, Lemuel?
I don't know who his driver was.
It was just someone random, maybe. But
yeah, I mean, it's somebody that we probably got their name, but it wasn't any of the major players. It wasn't.
Regardless, regardless, it's two black men who are just laying in the snow outside there for hours on end with no attention being paid to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was daytime when they were shot and killed, and it's nighttime when the cannons are still surrounding around them, looking at them and talking about, should we take them or not take them, because they kind of know how they're going to be treated. And yeah, it's just going to be forgotten about, it appears, but it's going to lead to this, you know, it's going to lead to them believing that Giusto sent out the hit probably, and, you know, everything else. So it's just going to further lead to cannon fodder for these two.
Exactly. More misunderstandings leading to, you know, what probably is just going to end up being everybody involved dead, except like one or two characters.
Yeah, except for Rabbi Rabbi Milligan and Mike
and Satchel, and maybe not. I mean, Rabbi Milligan might not even make it. It might just be Mike who makes it out, or Satchel. Yeah. That last shot of Dr. Senator lying in the snow after he's been killed—it seemed so familiar, and I could not place it. Did that remind you of any other shows or any other movies?
I didn't. Not that I really thought of.
Yeah, but I wonder. Maybe it's Breaking Bad, but I don't think it was, like, because it's just like him lying there, and then the camera kind of pans out. It might have been Breaking Bad, but
I mean, that's a little bit like the end, the finale of Breaking Bad.
Right. Yeah. That's. But he wasn't on snow. So I wondered if maybe it was like Fargo the movie or something. But I guess it's
Empire Strikes Back.
No, wasn't that either. I don't know. He wasn't in a Tauntaun. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me later. But I did, you know, it's funny you bring up The Sopranos, because I did definitely get Sopranos vibes from another scene in this episode, which was the scene between Loy and his wife, when his wife wants to go get Lemuel out of prison, and mm-hmm. Loy kind of blows up. He was not as imposing as Tony Soprano. I think because Chris Rock just has this high pitched voice, and it's still just like when he gets angry, it just comes off strange to me. But the whole scene where he's like, do you know where we get our money from? Do you like the clothes and the food and everything that you have? Like, you're getting that because of what we're doing. And it just reminded me so much of the episodes where Tony Soprano blows up at Carmella.
Yeah, it's Tony Soprano. It's Skyler White and Walter White. It's, you know, it's kind of a typical role for the wife of a mobster.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten her much in this show at all. I don't even know if we know her name.
Yeah. I know I didn't.
No, and I don't have her name written down. We also, it might be Florine Cannon, this cast list. I think that might be her name. But she also has her mother who lives with them too. So the grandma, who I really liked when after that scene, when Loy looks over at her and he goes, can I get a mm-hmm? And she's sitting there and just goes, mm. yeah, I thought this episode had some really strong, powerful scenes in it. I think I don't know how much it really moved the plot forward besides the very end with Dr. Senator getting killed, but I think it just set up a lot of our characters when we learned more about our characters as well.
Yeah.
All right, so we can kind of go through scene by scene just what happened and what some of our takeaways are. So we open with a really cool scene in Blues Club. Made me miss the days of being able to go somewhere and be out in public and listen to music live and do fun things. And the Blues Club gets broken up by the police, and like a very happy scene turns into a very sad and disturbing scene. They cut the music from this scene, and all you can hear is the cops beating the people as they're coming in to arrest everybody. You just hear the striking of them with their with the nightsticks, and eventually Lemuel gets arrested. And we see outside, this was Justo's doing, and he's standing in the rain and says, that's how it's done. So, he's trying to strike at the Cannon family in a more strategic way than his brother, who's just doing things in a more brute force way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that leads to a pretty great scene in the jail between Justo and the Cannons. Yeah,
and I mean that scene in the jail too, I think that pulls in a whole lot of stuff. That pulls in the dynamics between Justo and Gaetano, that pulls in the Rabbi Milligan and the different members of the Cannon crew as well. So
yeah.
But before we get there, we're gonna get some of Wef's as well. So we see Loy, he's finally selling those guns to Mort Kellerman, and as you said, that was the same actor who played Mort Kellerman in season two. And Wef comes in, and we're just seeing like insane police brutality just shown like it's just normal. Like he hits the guy in the mouth and says he's guilty of having too many teeth. It's like terrible stuff. And Wef's end up taking the money off of the floor. He sees a bag of money and he said, what did I leave my money bag sitting here for? Now, was that bag of money the bag of puke money?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
So we're seeing that puke money just get passed around from all of these characters. So now Wef's has this bag of money. He didn't seem to react to that money like it smelled very bad.
Yeah. Not yet, at least.
Mm-hmm. And when he's about to leave, we have Loy confronting Wef's about his history. And I thought this was great. So he's telling Wef's, and somehow he knows all about Wef's background as a minesweeper when he was in the army. So another character that we're finding out about their background serving in World War II. And very tragic story. So Wef's, this guy, we find out really why he's so obsessive compulsive about everything. Because when he was in the army, he was a minesweeper. So he went into fields and he would check for mines and he would lose guys. But he had one day where he cleared the field and he thought he had cleared it enough. The colonel shows up, and as they're telling the story, where it's leading, and the colonel steps on a mine because Wef's was not thorough enough.
Yeah. I think he says he was laying in a field at one point.
Right. Like, yeah. I think he said he thought he was done. So he laid in the field. And he also talks about how the sky looks a little bit different over, I think, in France, he said, than it does here.
Yeah, it looks more French.
Yeah. So we're getting a direct reason why Wef's has some of the personality tics that he has, like that he has to knock the door so many times. And, he's got that like kind of like monk that you see on TV. So, that was interesting. I didn't think we were going to get some humanizing backstory on Wef's and how he's been hurt in the past.
Yeah.
And then before we lead into the title credits, we see Nurse Mayflower. It's the only time we see Nurse Mayflower in this whole episode, although her hands are kind of all over different things that are happening, even if she's not on the episode. So she's laying, or she's sitting in a hospital room with a man laying who's groaning. Was that Dr. Harvard that was groaning, yeah, or just some patient?
I thought it was Dr. Harvard.
That's what I thought too, because Ethelreda is writing a letter about Nurse Mayflower. And whenever she says Dr. Harvard, they show that man. So I assume that we were supposed to know that was Dr. Harvard.
Yeah.
So as we're seeing Nurse Mayflower, we're hearing about Ethelreda's birthday. And before we just get a little bit of Ethelreda writing the letter, saying that she's worked with Nurse Mayflower for a long time and knows that she's been poisoning patients. I guess this is all just from Ethelreda seeing the stuff in Nurse Mayflower's closet the episode before. Mm-hmm. And that's the last that we actually see of Mayflower, but then, you know, we do have more of Ethelreda. She's writing this letter, and her dad comes in and tells her she needs to go to sleep. It's her birthday tomorrow. And she asks him about laudanum, which I guess is some poison that she found in Nurse Mayflower's closet.
Yeah.
And Ethelreda is so inquisitive. She's also asking where her aunt is, where Zelmar is. And it was in this scene that the background noise got really loud. And I don't know if it was just the DVR recording or if it was the actual episode where they had like random times when the background, it almost sounded like a really loud fan was going on or was raining outside. Did you pick up on that at all?
Yeah, I did too. I was not sure. I think that might have been our recording, but I don't know.
Yeah, because it happened like 6 or 7 times during the episode.
So, yeah.
I wasn't sure if maybe like with COVID, the production, like it was just an error in the production, although I would think that maybe it's just the airing that we had.
So, yeah, I'm not sure on that.
Thurman once again brings up that he thinks that Mayflower poisoned the pie and warns her to stay away from Mayflower. She still writes this letter. Now we have not seen what's going to happen when Dr. Harvard receives this letter. If Dr. Harvard is incapacitated and Mayflower is by his side, you would think Mayflower is going to be the one to open the letter and is going to read this from Ethelreda, which is going to be trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I assume it's heading for.
Yeah. All right, so then we get our math practice going on between Satchel and Rabbi Milligan. We get a good interaction between Milligan and Giusto talking about if Gaetano will just leave. Giusto thinks that if he can just win this battle against the cannons, that Giusto will leave, or that Gaetano will leave. And in the background, we have the radio talking. I was trying to pick up exactly what the radio was talking about, but it seemed like it was talking about like rent control and keeping the cost of living down to make America a great place to live. In the meantime, Rabbi Milligan is talking about how we made Italy a toilet. So, this is directly talking about World War II once again, and that Americans came in there, made Italy such a bad place to live because of the war. And so now all the Italians are coming over to America as a result of American interference in World War II. Mm-hmm. Is that what you got out of that scene?
Yeah. And it's just kind of the theme that Italians aren't real Americans, but they're still going to have more of an advantage because they have the appearance of being white. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be ahead of people like the cannons in America still. Mm-hmm. So that's that rent control and who's being moved out, who's being moved in, who's being encouraged, all that.
Yeah. And this episode definitely had a theme of coming to America as a theme. So, I mean, the title is The Birthplace of Civilization. That refers to the conversation between Deffy and Ethelreda later on in the episode. But we get, this story here about Gaetano coming over from Italy. We also get the story later on in the diner about the baby in the box as well, with Calamita telling his story coming over to America as well. So
Giusto talking to the guys in the jail about how America is a crime story and America loves a crime story.
Yep.
They root for the takers, all that.
Yeah. And we even get, so in this is where we get the line about either you divide them or you multiply them. And Rabbi Milligan is trying to convince Giusto that he needs to take out Gaetano. He says something along the lines of, it doesn't make it any easier if I say it instead of you. So, and then they even said a line when the shooting starts. And, I was expecting the line to be when the shooting starts, the looting, or when the looting starts, the shooting starts. I was expecting something on that, but it was when the shooting starts, we vanish, was what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So then Ethelreda goes to the hotel. She finds her aunt Zelmar. There's an axe behind Ethelreda's head, which I thought was very ominous. I don't know if you noticed that when she's walking into the she's walking down the hallway and there's an axe on. It's like a fire axe that's on the wall right behind her head.
No, I did not notice that. But
yeah, so
it's a good catch.
Yeah, I feel like that is not good for, especially if Nurse Mayflower gets this letter meant for Dr. Harvard. So, and when she's in there, she's talking to Zelmar and Swanee, and they explain to her that they're not criminals, they're outlaws. The criminals still abide by some rules. They just abide by the opposite of the rules, but outlaws abide by no rules at all. They don't fit into anybody's box.
Mm-hmm. They're just free. They're Bonnie and Bonnie.
Yeah. And Swanee, she brings up cake. Ethelreda brings up cake because it's her birthday. And Swanee said, oh, I'd like some cake. And I was shocked that Swanee would still want a baked good after the last time she had some baked goods.
Yeah, she's an outlaw. She doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Apparently not. All right, so then we get the scene between Loy and his wife. That's the one we talked about earlier, where it's the very like Tony Soprano Carmela. And she's upset that Lemuel has been arrested. And, you know, I think delivered by anybody else, this would have been a really good scene. You know, he talks about being on the razor's edge and, you know, this is where all their clothes come from. Very much like Tony addressing his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty reminiscent of a lot of crime bosses and their wives who mm-hmm. are not involved.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's another scene later on that reminds me of another famous crime story. So speaking of crime stories, we get our scene in the jail. It's the one he talked about. We have one of the characters ping-ponging back and forth along the wall, just pacing. And, you know, I wasn't able to identify who exactly was arrested, who was in there. I did see Lemuel in there. Mm-hmm. I also saw Lemuel's driver as well. I don't think Dr. Senator was in there. Did you notice Dr. Senator in there?
I didn't. No, I don't think he was.
Okay. Yeah. Dr. Senator, you know, I thought in general wasn't really in this episode very much. So, which was, you know, especially knowing that this was the episode he was going to get killed, I was very surprised that we didn't see Dr. Senator much in this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, Giusto comes in. He says, you know, line very much impacted by our times that we live in now. He says, I can take all the money and pussy I can and still run for president. So tell Loy it's time to surrender to me. So, you know, pretty on point with that line.
Yeah.
Rabbi Milligan says it's time to settle or to go to war.
Yep. And then he basically is sure that they're all dead. He assures them that he'll take care of Loy's kid and make sure that Loy knows that, but they're all dead
mm-hmm.
to Rabbi.
Yeah. Then we get Deffy going to Weff's place. We get more backstory on Weff. This was the real like Weff backstory episode. He's talking about the girl in the picture. I think that was his wife. And
I think it's Otis's murdered fiance.
It's fiance. Okay. And he talks about how Nelson Beats raped and strangled his wife. And this is where Deffy delivers his strategy that he's going to shake the trees to get the information, to get the fruit to come down. So, and that's the strategy he's going to apply with Ethelreda later on in the episode. But before then, we get a great Gaetano scene where Gaetano is approaching to opera music and he's meeting Calamita. I thought it was hilarious. Gaetano would not have been happy with me because Gaetano slips on the ice totally out of nowhere and falls on the ice as he's like dancing on his way into the restaurant.
Yep.
And this was the scene. This reminded me of Goodfellas because Gaetano looks at the guy who works there and he gets really mad that the guy's laughing. And he says, you look at me like I'm funny. Am I Charlie Chaplin? Which reminded me of Joe Pesci's line. You know, do you think am I funny like a clown? Like funny.
Yeah. Hell? Yeah, it's pretty spot on there. And leads to Giusto or Gaetano rant about how Americans don't do their jobs right.
Yep. Yeah, he says, your Jesus looks like a lady and everybody thinks that they're going to be president. So a direct other side of the coin to Giusto saying that he can do whatever he wants and be president. Gaetano says everybody thinks that they can just be president in this country and talks about how much harder he had it in Italy.
Yep.
So. and leads to, you know, of course, Gaetano kills everybody. He kills the two people who work in the restaurant. Calamita seems surprised by this, which I don't know why he's surprised, having interacted with Gaetano for any length of time at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and opera music plays, and he kills them both.
Yep.
So, and then we get Ethelreda's birthday party. It's like, almost forgot, like, the backdrop of this episode is that it's Ethelreda's birthday. And there's still tension between Ethelreda's parents as well. Over the money that was given to pay off the debt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Loy and Zero show up, and he makes Thurman invite them in. And there's a great line in this where Loy says, you know, $10 for, you get a 10 for balls and zero for brains. And I forgot the kid's name was Zero, and Zero thinks that they're talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Cannon says that because they screwed him over, he's going to take their business. So he's going to take the funeral home. And he says, you either tell me what I want to know, or I paint this room with you. So I don't know why exactly. Do you think, is Loy just looking for Swanee and Zelmar because they robbed him? Or do you think there's something else that he wants from them?
I mean, we kind of see later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees them, he's like, I'm not gonna kill you guys, I'm gonna use you guys as invisible soldiers here. So it's similar reason why he gave the guns to Mort Kellerman, is that he needs people who can work and do his jobs without him being suspected of doing them. So people like two people who are suspected of robbing him, two women, like, mm-hmm. they don't have to do it again, so they have this camouflage that can allow them to do jobs for the cannons that the cannons themselves can't do.
Oh, and yeah. So
same idea here with the Colorman. So yeah, I mean, I think that he obviously wants to punish him, but he wants to use him. He says later, death is too easy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, that's a good strategy, because nobody knows who these two women are. Everybody else in his gang is men. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's like an unholy alliance that's going to form between them.
Yep.
So, but before we can get to that, we do see Ethelreda called into the principal's office, and Deffy is in there. We get tons of just like casual racism towards Ethelreda. You know, the secretary says, as soon as I laid eyes on you, I knew you were trouble. And the principal says, in all my years of dealing with colored students, I'd never had a U.S. Marshal show up in the principal's office.
Yep.
No. But Deffy does explain to Ethelreda what exactly Zelmar did that got her arrested. Now, did you buy this was the actual story of what she did?
Not exactly.
So yeah, the story was that she was armed robbery. She hit a pregnant woman with the butt of her gun, and she committed armed robbery to steal $9.58.
Yeah.
So, and Swanee had something. I think Swanee robbed a bank and shot a peewee football coach.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, he's just making all of the victims seem like the most innocent people ever.
Yep.
So I'll be curious if we get the other side of that. I mean, like, you know, they did say that they're outlaws, so maybe they just don't care about, maybe they don't care about laws, and maybe this is actually what they did.
So yeah, I mean, could be, we don't know.
Yeah. And then Deffy says to Ethelreda, you know, we can handle this in a civilized way, tell me where they are. And Ethelreda says, civilized America, or Ethelreda says, civilized Africa is the birthplace of civilization. That's factual. So, pretty good mic drop from Ethelreda. Good retort, except then Deffy then, hits her where she doesn't want to be hit and says, if you don't tell me where your aunt is, then I'm going to get you expelled from school. Ethelreda clearly really cares about her school and her academics. And so, you know, this is what this shaking the tree actually accomplishes his goal, and he does find out where Swanee and Zelmar are. So you know, Ethelreda, with as good as that line response was, Deffy still got the point on that, because he did find out where she is. So then we get a great scene where we see both the cannons getting ready to go somewhere, and we see Deffy heading to the hotel. Cannons get there first. And so this is where we get that scene that you just talked about, where Zelmar and Swanee think that they're going to be killed, but Loy says that he's going to use them as secret soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
they're able to escape the hotel before Deffy and the U.S. Marshals get there, but he does see them all heading out together.
Yep.
So this is how I think we're going to get the U.S. Marshals storyline tied in with the Cannons, because now he knows that they're with the Cannons, so he's going to start going after the Cannons as well.
Yep.
It's going to tie everything together. And then the last scene is the one that we already talked about. That's where Dr. Senator is killed. We get the story about Calamita and that he was the baby in the box and his mother died from, I think, typhoid on the way over to America. Dr. Senator does keep asking where the consigliere is, and we haven't seen him in the whole episode. Do you think he's dead? Do you think he's been killed by Gaetano?
Yeah, I think that's implied.
Yeah.
Or they're there without, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know how he wouldn't. I think he's dead.
So I would think that would be a big shot between Gaetano and the rest of the Fada family, because the consigliere is a high up position in that family. So before Dr. Senator leaves, he talks about how, you know, he who wishes to be obeyed must know how to command. Here in America, respect is earned. So kind of the other side of the coin from Gaetano, where Gaetano thinks people in America just expect that they can have all these ambitions and do whatever they want. And Dr. Senator is saying, hey, you got to earn it if you want to get this respect. And he says, yep. Ebal earned my respect. Ebal is the consigliere. And Dr. Senator, another World War II veteran who told his story about being in World War II, just like we got the story from WEF. So World War II having going on in the background of everything in this story.
Yeah. So. It's a kind of, yeah, it's so recent with this.
So, and you know, that's where we stand at the end of this episode. Dr. Senator has been killed. The whole Cannon crew is standing around him. They say he deserves more than to just be left sitting here, but it does seem like they're just going to leave him sitting in the snow.
Yeah, and you can, you know, even tell from Dr. Senator's reaction in his dying moments as he's shot in the back that, like, the rules have really changed and they're never going to go back. And kind of it's re-solidified when they show Loy's reaction also. So, I mean, this is just going to set things in a motion where it's just a, like, Dr. Senator says before he dies, they've just made a big mess. So it's
true.
Just going to leave a big mess that no one cleans up and just continues for generations.
Yeah, I would imagine that this is like the shot heard around the world here, where we're going to get a retaliatory shot from the next episode, you know, maybe from Swanee and Caps.
Or Swanee and zero is in my death pool.
For zero's sure. In your death. Okay. We can add zero to your team.
That kid's dead. Yeah. No, that kid's dead. I don't want him on my team. That kid's definitely dead. Why he says, does he look like my son? Like, no, this kid is maybe dead next episode.
Well, that was an interesting thing to say to Thurman, because does Atharita look like Thurman's daughter?
That's what he wanted to say, I think, when he was like, well, like, yeah, but he didn't.
So, yes. All right. Well, in terms of updating the safety draft, so I have Rabbi Milligan, Satchel, Loy Cannon, and Wef all safe. And you have Atharita, who I think with the axe thing, I don't think she's very safe anymore. Dr. Senator, Swanee, and Deffy, and you've lost Dr. Senator. So you now have Atharita, Swanee, and Deffy remaining in your safety draft.
Yeah. So. I really only feel good about Deffy at this point.
Yeah.
And I may be wrong on that too.
I don't even feel good about Deffy.
I have no one left.
There's going to be a lot. I mean, with this show, there's so much blood that's going to get spilled. You know, we'll be lucky if we have like two people combined between both of our teams that make it out of this thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel good about Wef at all after this episode.
No, he's a damaged man.
Yeah, he got the real boot at it, where we're getting all his backstory and then maybe we're going to lose him in the next episode. So just one bit of feedback that came in. Alexander Chester, who also spoiled the episode for me this morning, he did say that the biggest surprise to him was that Gaetano is not played by Jack Black. Do you think Gaetano, if Jack Black would have played him, would have been a better role, or do you like the actor who we've never seen in anything before?
I like the unknown actor for sure.
Yeah. I said it's nothing like Jack Black. It would have been very playing against type, but like Jack Black is always screaming. And
he's kind of got a Nacho Libre mustache. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah. That was what he said. He said the sly smile, the Cheshire grin, I think is what he said. But
yeah, I mean, I can see it a little, but no. I'm glad they didn't do that.
So, all right. Let's see. So we went through the safety draft. MVPs. We have the MVPs.
Mm-hmm. I think it's got to be Gaetano for me. He's setting the tone for the season at this point. He's kind of colored the season red. And so you got to give him an MVP for this, because otherwise it would be a lot of police corruption and not a lot of action if it was Giusto's way.
Yeah. All right. Oh, man. Gaetano, who's taking the big shots. Even though she ended up giving up the information, I just think Ethelreda's comeback against Deffy, against U.S. Marshal in the principal's office, that required some balls. So, Ethelreda, you're getting the MVP point. Happy birthday to you. And, poor Dr. Senator, I think, is going to be stuck at one MVP point unless we get a flashback episode. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we nobody's with multiple with multiple MVP points. We got Loy, Dr. Senator, Thurman Smutney, Dr. Harvard, Rabbi Milligan, Nurse Mayflower, Gaetano, and Ethelreda, all with one MVP point.
Mm-hmm.
So we might, if people don't start getting multiples, we might have to just like separate them into what team they are on to know which team won. So,
yeah.
All right. And let's see. Next episode is episode 6. That is Camp Elegance is the name of the episode. Any sense what Camp Elegance is going to be about?
Maybe it's like when Ethelreda learns how to be more of an outlaw with Suwanee and Zelmar a little more, like kind of a Leander professional type situation.
Like a boot camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to get some World War II flashbacks. We've heard a lot about World War II. You hear camp, you think Nazi camp. So I wonder if we're going to either see flashbacks of World War II or just hear more World War II stories in the next episode.
Yeah, that definitely could be.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, as you're watching along, definitely send us your feedback. You can email it in digestingdarkpod@gmail.com and let us know what you think of Sunday's episode. Usually we're recording these Monday afternoons, Monday night. So, let us know. And, you can also get at us on Twitter. I'm at Brooks ZA.
I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
And we'll see you next week for Camp Elegance, episode 6.
See ya.
Thank you.